Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. Behind the Black, I'm John Batson. I'm joined by Behind the Black's master switch, Bob Zimmerman. We throw the switch for a success, first stage success at Boca Chica, and then an anomaly. Bob, the eighth test, and you're presenting a very positive fact. They caught the first stage again, super heavy, came back down, shut off, and there it was hanging on the chopsticks. Please explain to people who've not ever watched, Bob, how spectacular this is. Good evening.
It's quite spectacular. Let me give a little background. SpaceX is developing the largest, most powerful rocket ever developed. It's called Starship Super Heavy. Super Heavy is the first stage. Starship is the second stage, but it's also the spacecraft altogether. And this is more powerful, maybe in the end it'll be like 50% more powerful than the Saturn V rocket. It's being designed to be totally reusable, which is even more spectacular. They've only done eight test launches of this rocket so far. And they've only attempted to catch the first stage with the chopsticks on the last four flights. And this idea of catching a first stage by the launch tower, where it launched just like 7 minutes previously, is an extremely radical idea that when Musk first proposed it, everyone kind of looked and said, my God, what kind of fantasy world is he living in? But on the four attempts, they have successfully catched it three times. And the one time they didn't catch it, they aborted the attempt well before it came down, so that it made a very controlled vertical landing in the Gulf of Mexico nearby, so that it wouldn't do no damage to the launch pad. So they, even there, they were working under a controlled environment. And this is really spectacular, Super Heavy. And Musk has said this, Super Heavy is getting very close to attempting to reuse a stage they brought back. They're catching it. They've got it in hand. They can inspect it. They can refurbish it. Why not test flying it again? And so he's getting close to that. He said in the next flight or two, they might try that. I think not. And the reason isn't because they're getting afraid, but because of Starship. On this eighth flight yesterday, the Starship did the same thing, had the same anomaly, at least at the same time, that occurred on the seventh flight. Shortly after, it was firing its engines to get up to its orbital height. Just before those engines were supposed to cut off, there was an anomaly of some kind, a fire maybe in the aft part of the rocket. Engines cut off prematurely. It started to tumble, and then they obviously set the flight termination system to blow it up. They therefore, for two flights in a row, have not been able to do their orbital testing and return testing, and so they've got to do that. They got to do that. That's a priority. So they're not going to use a reused first stage, I think, until they've gotten at least one more Starship flight successful, so they can test it.
Bob, my memory is that they're doing a lot of changing around on Starship on the second stage. They're testing different pieces, whether they can be captured again, where they can put the payload. Does that connect to anything to what happened? Because it was striking in the write-up that I read, which was right away, so I haven't seen any depth analysis, that it happened within moments of the first time it happened.
Yeah, the issue here is this is an upgraded version of Starship. They call this version 2. And it has apparently different fuel lines configuration and some major changes. The engines themselves are different. And so it appears that that may be where the problem is. But, you know, having actually this failure happen twice in a row in a similar situation is a good thing, because they will now have extremely good data on what happened, and they can they can figure out what to do to change it so it won't happen again. And that is the company's history. Right. Something goes wrong, they figure out exactly what went wrong, and they fix it so that it won't happen again. And so that's why their reliability keeps going up, because they keep eliminating problems to not reappear.
Athena landed on the moon, and then what's happened?
This is the second lunar lander built by the company Intuitive Machines. Their first lander a year ago came down. It was moving too quick to the side. It came down on a slope, which broke one of its legs, so it fell on its side. And so they were able to communicate with it, but they were not able to do any science. Athena was the second one. It tried to land on the moon yesterday. It came down. It seemed to be much better controlled and had a much better idea of where it was going. But it was going into the closest landing site to the South Pole on the moon. And this is extremely rugged terrain. When it landed, it seemed to land softly. But then there was a long delay getting information from it and a lot of contradictory data. Two different sensors. One sensor said the lander was upright. A second sensor said it was on its side. They can't both be right. But it does appear from the data that it is sitting at an unknown angle or tilt on the moon. And that is making it impossible for them to use the high-gain antenna. They're using the omnidirectional antennas that don't allow them to get a lot of data back. They can't use the idea. Without the high-gain antenna, they can't get pictures, and they can't do a lot of the science. So they don't know exactly what the problem is now. It's very possible it just simply landed on a slope correctly, but the slope is too steep for communications. It could be the slope caused the thing to tilt over and to fall over on its side again. That's also possible. We don't know. And they're going to try to get pictures from orbit, and they're still working to try to get pictures using the omnidirectional camera, and I think they will get that and eventually be able to pinpoint exactly what the issue is. It is very unfortunate for this company because they've tried it twice, and they had the same kind of issue again. One of the things everyone noticed in the space community when they look at the design of Intuitive Machines landers is they seem to have a very high, tall profile, which means they have a higher center of gravity than really they should. Now, they say that no, that the weight of the spacecraft is mostly near the bottom, so even though it's tall, its center of gravity is low. But the track record suggests otherwise. And so that's where we stand. We don't know if they'll be able to do any science. They have a limited amount of time because they only will be able to operate on the first lunar day. And that's already now has only about 10 days left.
Meantime, Blue Ghost from Firefly, all seems to in a good stead. However, you have a spectacular piece of news about GPS. What about it, Bob?
Yeah, so Blue Ghost, the other lander, this is from the other company, Firefly. It's been on the moon now for almost, 4 or 5 days. Everything is proceeding as normal. They've activated 8 of the 10 NASA payloads on board, one of which shot tethers with seismograph-type material out several hundred feet from the lander, quite spectacular. One of the instruments is a Italian-built GPS receiver, essentially, and it has proven that you can use the constellations orbiting the Earth to pinpoint your positions. When you're on the near side of the moon, and you can sense those satellites, that is a very spectacular thing, and it's a very big deal because it means the infrastructure needed to do operations on the moon is now simplified somewhat, and that's a very good thing.
And Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, a picture of Blue Ghost, and that's the one.
Oh, yes.
That's the one that needs to take a picture of Athena.
No. Blue Ghost is the same spacecraft that's operating very successfully. Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, this is the third star of Blue Ghost, was able to get a picture of it. I mean, you don't see much. It's only a dot. It's really only a few pixels across. But they've actually, what it tells them is exactly where it landed, which is close to where it wanted to land. And they now know where it is, which means they can figure out what their pictures are telling them. And so that's a very good thing. And the Blue Ghost is the one that's operating well. Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter will try to take pictures of Athena at some point when it goes over, but we haven't gotten those back yet.
What is Lunar Trailblazer?
Lunar Trailblazer was launched with Athena. It is a NASA low-cost lunar orbiter that was supposed to be create a global map of the potential water on the moon. But unfortunately, shortly after launch, they were not able to contact it properly. And it appears it is slowly tumbling. And it does look very dim for this spacecraft. It is already, they weren't able to do the set of mid-course corrections they were supposed to right after launch. And so now it's on a course that is making it more and more difficult to get it to lunar orbit. If they could get in touch with it and fix it within the next, like, day or so, they might be able to get it back to the moon. But that likelihood appears more and more slim, and this would be a total loss. That's very unfortunate.
Meanwhile, here comes the Tortoise, Ariane 6. How's it doing, Bob?
It's second successful launch. This is the new rocket that was conceived by Europe in 2015, rejecting the idea of reusability, even though SpaceX has just proven it works. And they built this rocket, which is too expensive and is cumbersome and is not competitive. Well, they've now completed its first commercial launch and its second launch of all. And they launched a French spy satellite on the launch. You know, this rocket has contracts to put things up, so it will be launching for a while, but it is absolutely not competitive on the market right now, and it's going to become less and less competitive as time goes. I would not be surprised if some of those launch contracts disappear because the satellite companies decide, you know, I can get it done cheaper elsewhere, and I'm not committed to this until I launch, so
and
goodbye.
Bob, Ariane 6 is not reusable, but is there anything that recommends it whatsoever? Anything?
I can't think of anything. The only thing I can think of, and this is in terms of politics, Europe and the European Space Agency and the European Union want to have their own autonomous launch capability. And so this is a European rocket. And so there's a lot of political pressure to use it instead of cheaper alternatives that are from America or elsewhere. And so a lot of the contracts it have were created because of political pressure. Once again, with new startups coming into Europe now, independent rocket startups that will offer cheaper options, I could expect that once those capabilities can replace Ariane 6, Ariane 6 will disappear very quickly.
Same for India. Entrepreneurs, what have they got?
This is their space agency, but it's related to their attempt to encourage private rocket startups, independent rocket companies. India has now acquired all the land and begun construction on its second spaceport. I've got a map on Behind the Black. I am not going to try to pronounce the full name because it's like 20 syllables. Let's just call it Kula. It's on the southern tip of India, and that gives it a more flexibility in launches than the Sarikota site that is farther north on the eastern shore. And they've begun construction, and they said that this site will be available for commercial companies to launch from. And so India is, you know, trying to encourage a private industry, and that's a very good thing.
Bob, about France. The French wanted to adapt the Guiana launch pad. What is the advantage it has? Is that an equator launch?
Yes. Well, all right. So French Guiana is the spaceport that the European Space Agency and Ariane Space has been using for many decades. It is owned by France, and only recently was France given back management of that from Ariane Space. They're reducing Ariane Space's responsibility as they shift to capitalism instead of a government-run system. So France owns this, and France, in the idea of trying to encourage private enterprise, has this old launch pad there that hasn't been used since the 60s. And so they want to adapt that launch pad for private startups to use. And they've already had a contract with several, and one PDL is already doing, this is a Spanish company, Rocket Startup, is already doing work to prep it for its first launch. They've now opened a public comment period to try to get feedback from the public and these companies on what exactly to do there. France has first suggested that they wanted to standardize everything so that every company that would come in there would have an identical rocket. And, of course, all these private companies say, no, we don't want that because we all work differently. And I think that's still the discussion going on here. How much can be standardized? Because some standardization is a good idea, but how much shouldn't be? And that's what France is trying to find out right now. This is basically trying to encourage private enterprise in the European market, and that's a good thing.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Unlock big savings while adding style and security to your home with Schlage door locks from Menards. High-quality Schlage Wi-Fi compatible entry locks allow you to lock and unlock your home from anywhere with your phone. Get peace of mind and save big money on all door locks at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money.